Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. Let's look at the composite numbers in Kansas City. March wheat, 846. It is up 2¼. July, 862¼, up 2¼. March wheat in Chicago, 792¼, up 1¾. July, 809, up 1¼. March corn, 699, up 2½. July, 699, up 1¾. December, 604¼, up a half. January soybeans, 1424¾, up 16. July, 1407¼, up 16¾. November, 1298½, up 10¾. January soybean meal, 431¾, up 360, now up 370. January soybean oil, 48.73, up 82. December live cattle, 128.37½, down 57½. January feeder cattle, 151.97½, down 30. February lean hogs, 86.32½, now 30, and they are down 15. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo. He is with Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Merry Christmas to you and everybody out there.
A happy holiday to you and yours, Mike, as well, from Illinois Public Media and all the staff here. It looks to me like we started out pretty strong this morning, but we're beginning to drift back and give some of those gains back, and I think how we might end the day might be important.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, we've got some pretty key chart support levels, especially on the Dow Jones UBS Grain Index weekly chart. The 50-week moving average has been tested as of yesterday's lows and last night's lows as well, Dave, and I think that's a number and a moving average that has to be taken pretty seriously, even though I'm in a fundamental camp and a seasonal camp that we should be cyclically rallying during this time in the corn and wheat especially. But I think the counter-seasonal weakness continues to be led by the fiscal cliff. And I think when we saw the watershed day between Tuesday and Wednesday's trade, when we saw new weekly highs in wheat Tuesday on ideas that the fiscal cliff deal was going to get done, new export sales to Egypt, purchasing United States wheat, and TEPFR coming out, TEPFR International coming out this morning, saying we're now the most competitive of the major suppliers in the world. With that happening, new weekly highs, Egypt purchases, but then Wednesday, lower, sharply lower day on the fiscal cliff unwinding. And I think that's today's trade almost all over again, where we were higher with the outside markets weaker. House Republican Leader Boehner comes on about a half an hour ago, says, I can't do much more. My plan B didn't pass. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you see the grains weaken. And I think that I feel pretty comfortable with the idea that most of this decline in corn and wheat is not fundamentals. It's more fiscal cliff fears.
The other interesting thing that he said, and I'm paraphrasing, so he said words to the effect that God only knows how we avoid the fiscal cliff at this point.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of clients have called in, and this is where I've stepped lightly into the bean spreads with the Jan-July bull beans, bean bull spread, and I've stepped lightly into getting into some long wheat positions, but I'm very quick to jump out because I realize that the client's money needs to be held on to as much as possible going to the end of the year in case these guys do kind of press, so to speak, the nuclear button and don't get a deal, and all of a sudden the major ratings agencies around the country, the Fitches, the S&Ps, and the Moody's come out and say, we're lowering your debt rating, and interest rates spike because of that, and all of a sudden we see the equities markets, which have been carrying a substantial premium, they all of a sudden decide to go down in a trend similar to what the corn and wheat have done, and that keeps even additional pressure in the market at that point, because the market, I think by the way the gold has followed, or the grains have followed the gold, however you want to look at it, Dave, gold's down about 7% in the last 30 days. It's at four-month lows, very similar to the same type of lows that we've seen in the corn and wheat. I think that's the explanation of that, is that the trade is worried about deflation. And I think when Boehner says something like he said this morning that you reference, it gives the market more fear that a deflationary bias and a recessionary bias is going to take hold. I still feel as though when it's all said and done, that the president still wants a legacy, and he doesn't want a legacy known as going off the fiscal cliff in the history book. So I'm still relatively optimistic that something will get done, but certainly I'm not in Washington. I'm in the Midwest, and some people recognize that very quickly.
Well, we have a trade that ends early on Monday. We have no trade on Tuesday. We don't trade Tuesday night. We don't come back to the marketplace and trade again until Wednesday. Many traders probably not in Chicago. Of course, they can click at home or wherever, that's for sure.
Right.
But volume will probably be very thin next week. And then you add the uncertainty of the cliff onto that. I would think that most non-commercials will want to be pretty flat, if they can be. Where do we end up at the end of next week?
I think that's where your technicals come into play. I think we've just addressed really nicely why these charts mean so much going into today's close because of those factors you just addressed. And I think it's worth noting that the fact that we closed in wheat, in March wheat, at 793, that was, our low last week was 793. I think that is a kind of a make-or-break psychological level when we go into today's close, exactly because of what you bring up, Dave. I think that's real important.
And what about technicals then and the other two major commodities we file, corn and soybeans?
You know, here's how I see the Chinese cancellations and the resulting technicals. And I spoke with a lot of clients yesterday because when I sent out email alerts about more cancellations, I am of the view that this is not the Chinese overbooking, that they didn't have a too big of a stockpile like copper 6 months ago or steel 6 months ago, that they aren't going into a hard landing economically. I think this really boils down to negative crush margins and the opportunity to come in and buy lower priced beans to be able to get their crush margins up, that in fact their demand is staying very strong. And I reference that because we saw more bean purchases from China and continue to see more fresh bean purchases from China, the latest one just on the 17th of this week. And so I think that the Chinese are buying lower to improve their crush margins. And if I'm right about that, then yesterday's low should hold. And we noticed that March beans again last night hit 1404.5, very close to yesterday's lows. So my take on this market is probably similar to a lot of other people, that if you go below $14 and you take out that psychological support that we held because of these cancellations announced yesterday, then you've got at least 35 cents down and technically maybe even more. And you have the ability then of the January-July spread to go into a carrying charge situation and erode about 17 to 20 cents of premium there as well. So that's how I see the front-end beans especially.
Now let's turn our attention to the corn, where we yesterday got into the gap left over in June and didn't fill it. Still 4 cents open in the March contract.
Yeah, and I think that's something that the trade is really going to be watching here in the next few sessions on light volume. I think it's very hard to come in and pick up corn here. I would much rather pick up wheat at this stage if I needed to buy or felt like this was a place to buy. I think the big thing with corn this week, and when you take a step back, it did get negative fundamentals. You can't turn it any other way. Mm-hmm. Between the weekly ethanol data hitting 20.8 million barrels, in between the Informa numbers of 99 million acres, I think corn was very easily able to press the wheat lower, and one of the major bearish forces on the wheat in Chicago was the corn leading it lower midweek. And so I still buy into the idea that you really have to have a bottom in wheat before you can get a bottom in corn, and the demand would suggest that as well. Now, one thing that's happened this morning is we are seeing more buying interest from Asia on corn, and that's certainly nice to see given the price movement we've seen lower. I think from a chart perspective, March and May corn need to stay above that $7 handle as we close out today to make the trade feel like maybe we can hold on here going through the holiday.
Thank you very much, Mike.
You too, Dave. Thank you.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.